So let's look at Luke chapter 11, and we're using this as our text for the School of Prayer, a course called Prayer 201. This is lesson number 5, and the title of the lesson tonight is Three Loaves of Bread, Three Loaves of Bread. It says in verse 1, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. So, Jesus now begins to answer their request and begins to teach them how to pray. And so that's what we're trying to do tonight. And these Wednesday nights is really pick apart what Jesus taught here, try to look into it deeply so that we can pray. I think our God is a merciful God who'll listen to our prayers and sees the desire of our hearts. Prayer is not a show. Prayer is not using flowery old English words like you're going to impress the God who knows all languages and dialects of the world. No, it's not impressing God at all. It's communion with Him. But it's something that you can learn and learn deeper and deeper and deeper how to pray correctly. But you got to get started. And these men obviously hadn't really gotten started. And so they said, Lord, teach us to pray. That's a good thing. Now, these are adult men. And it's good for adult men to be humble and to acknowledge a need. They were observing John the Baptist's disciples, and they were saying, you know, these John the Baptist's disciples know how to pray, verse 1. Jesus, you know how to pray. Could you teach us to pray? And that's the kind of men we need. We need humble men, men who are teachable, men who don't think they know it all. And so I've been learning about prayer for a long time and still am, and just feel that I've just scratched the surface, although I do try to pray a lot. So he began to teach them, and these are not just words that were to be repeated. In Matthew's account of this story, in Matthew 6, just before he says this prayer, he says, don't use vain repetitions as the heathen do. So in other words, he's not giving us a prayer that we can just recite over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. He's giving us a model prayer, an outline, if you will. He says, when you pray, say, Our Father. Now, that was the first lesson, that we need to approach the Lord as our Father. You got to be sure you're saved. You got to be sure you're born again into God's family. John 1 and verse 12 says that when you and I are born again, we become the children of God. God is our Father. And so you've got to know Him as your Father. And then, as a born-again believer, know Him as your Father. Don't just know Him as God or Lord, and those are wonderful names, but as our Father, which is intimate. Intimate. Now, if you didn't have a father or didn't have a good earthly father or something, you've got to have to overcome that obstacle and realize you do have a heavenly Father who cares about you, who loves you, who's for you, who wants you to succeed more than you want to succeed, who wants to hear from you, who wants to be your friend, who wants to help you, who wants to instruct you and teach you, and all the things that a good father does, he wants you to do. So know him more than just God. Jesus said, call him our Father. And then it says, which art in heaven. We have a child-father relationship. That was lesson number 2. A child doesn't just ask his father for things. A child obeys his father. A child pleases his father. A child listens to his father and hears what he's saying and learns from his father and hangs around his father, and they're close. The book of Proverbs is a dialogue between a father and his son in the Old Testament. 23 times in that book you'll hear the father say, my son, my son, my son, my son, my son, my son, my son. And that's portrayed to us as a good father. A good father is always teaching his son, and God is always teaching us, and we ought to be listening and hearing what he's saying. And then after we do all those things, obeying him, pleasing him, learning from him, listening to him, and so on and so forth, then we can say, Lord, Father, I have these needs. Then we ask him. We don't just go to an earthly father and just never talk to him and ignore him and don't obey him and then just ask him for things. So we gotta have communion with God the Father and enjoy the Father and know Him personally. Hallowed be thy name was the third lesson. That means you need to sanctify the name of God. And we talked about all the different names that God reveals himself to us in the Bible as, and how every name meets a need. Every need in a name. Every need in a name. Every need in a name. No matter what your need is, there is a name for God that you can use, and he will meet that need. Last week we talked about thy kingdom come, thy will be done. That when we begin praying, our first concern should be about the Lord's kingdom and the Lord's will. And it's not about us. We get to the us in verse 3. But sometimes there are people who struggle with prayer, become disillusioned by it because it never works for them. Because they think prayer is just like sticking a couple quarters in a candy machine and pulling a lever and getting whatever you want. But before we get to our needs in verse 3, we ought to be concerned about the Lord's kingdom, building up his kingdom and doing his will. His kingdom is people. And so we talked about the importance of praying for people and the importance of praying about God's will. God's will, we went through that last time, how he wants everyone to be saved. Who will that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth? And when you study heaven, which we're doing on Sunday morning, it says, thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. As you study what the Bible says about people in heaven, everybody there is saved. Everybody there worships God. Everybody adores God. Everybody obeys God. Everybody serves God. Everybody sings unto God. And we listed all the things we know about people in heaven and what they do. And Jesus is saying, when you pray, say, Father, thy will be done as in heaven, so on earth. And so when we pray for people, it ought to be our desire that people on earth would be saved and redeemed and love God and serve God and obey God and sing unto God and worship God and adore God. And everything that people do in heaven should be our desire and our prayer that they do down here on earth. And so that's what he meant when he said, pray thy will be done in heaven and earth. So our complete focus at first in prayer is all about God. God, what do you need? What about your will? What about your work? Then we get to ourselves. And it says in verse 3, give us day by day our daily bread. Now I want to just skip down to verse number 5, because as soon as he ends this prayer, he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. And there's where I get the title of our lesson tonight, 3 loaves of bread. In fact, the word bread in verse number 3, give us day by day our daily bread, and the word loaves in verse number 5 come from the exact same Greek word. Friend, lend me 3 loaves. Why? Verse 6, for a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. Remember that for later. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. Though I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, now he just tells the story, he picks up prayer again. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son ask bread, here's the word bread again, of any of you that is a father, will he, the father, give him a stone? Well, of course not. Or if he ask a fish, will he give for a fish, give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he give him a scorpion? Now these are questions that are, you know, obviously answered to us. We know the answers. And he concludes by saying, If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Now ask in verse 13, ask in verse 9, asketh in verse 10 are synonyms for prayer. That's what the word prayer means, to ask. Back in the old days, they would say, I pray thee, have me excused, or I pray thee, give me a ride in your chariot. And the person who was listening to that old English would know the person is saying, I ask you to have me excused, or I ask you, could you give me a ride in your chariot, or whatever. Pray, ask, synonymous. And so this whole section down to verse 13 is Jesus teaching us deep things about prayer. And I want to just speak about three loaves of bread that we should pray for. It says in verse 3, give us day by day our daily bread. Now, I believe this means more than just asking God for a bunch of flour mixed with water and baked. I think you'd probably agree with that in the light of the text that he's talking about. Let me say, number one, we need to pray for bread for ourselves. Number one, we need to pray for bread for ourselves. Now, this is the most common interpretation, is that we should pray for our food. Now, that might not mean much to us here in America, but there's some people on earth that's a major prayer of theirs constantly, that God would give them food for that day. Now, we're so blessed with Wegmans and Walmarts and Tops and so on and so forth, and all kinds of convenience stores everywhere, that we don't really probably spend much time praying for food. But I believe this is talking here about provision of our needs. And not our greeds, but our needs. And it is not wrong for you to go to the Lord and ask God to provide your needs. Now, as for what a need is, well, the Bible has a pretty narrow definition of it. I'll read it for you. It's found in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 8. It says, "In having food and raiment, let us be therewith content." Can you imagine trying to sell that in America? Having food, clothing, bread, food, and raiment, clothing, let us therewith be content. It says just prior to that, godliness with contentment is great gain. So a person who can be godly and saved and knows the Lord and is content with what God has given them, that's great gain. That's a rich person. A person can have one potato left to their name and be content with it. And a millionaire can have a big house and a big boat and a big deck and a fancy car, and not be content with anything he wants, but want more, or bigger, and better. And the person with one potato, the Bible is saying, and contentment is richer than the man who can buy anything his heart desires, but he's not content. Contentment is not getting what we want, it's wanting what we have. And that is the person who's rich. Now, the Bible says, and we need to relearn this, the Bible says, having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. And certainly I don't want to pick on the young people tonight, but there's many young people who think they have bad parents because they don't get, signature jeans and sneakers and iPods and iTunes and DVDs and MP3s and cell phones with every imaginable option and laptop computers and digital cameras that take 1,000 pictures and on a disc and so on and so forth. And they think, boy, what horrible, lousy parents I have that they don't give me these things. And I got news for you. The Bible says if your parents give you food and clothing, you ought to be content. You ought to be content. You ought to thank God for that, and if they, put shelter over your head, and you have to grow up in hand-me-downs, and you never get a digital camera or access to, 500 stations on cable and so on, if you don't get any of those things, you ought to be content. We need to relearn this, that the Bible says food and clothing. And so we need to change our attitude. And that, I'm not just saying young people to parents, but you do see that sometimes. There's is literally young people who are bitter feelings and angry feelings towards their parents because their parents don't give them everything they want. And there's some adults that get bitter and angry towards God because they can't get everything they want. And we may need to get our waters fixed. And God can do that and take the covetousness out of our hearts. And you can have a very little in this life and be content with it and feel like the richest person on earth. You really can. It's a great way to live, too. But when it does come to needs, it's not wrong to pray that God would meet those needs. Our Father is concerned about our needs. As we said down in verse 11 and 12, if a son shall ask bread of anyone that is a father, will he give him a stone? That's a rhetorical question. The answer is obviously no. If he will ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he for offer him a scorpion? It's a rhetorical question. The answer is obviously no. If we go to God with a legitimate need as our Father, he will give us those needs. In Matthew's account in chapter 7 and verse 11, it says he gives good things to them that ask. Now, sometimes he doesn't give us what we ask for because it's not good for us. It'll ruin us. He gives good things to them that ask. And misused this story, but I'll tell it one more time, then we'll go on here. But I remember when my son was a boy and he caught eye of one of these Swiss Army knives. You know what I mean? The Swiss Army knives with all the things, the gadget, the corkscrew on it, a little toothpick that pulls out and the nail file and all that kind of stuff. And he begged me and 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 begged me for that thing. And I just kept thinking, you know, if I give him this thing, he's going to cut himself. I just know it. He's going to cut himself if I give him this thing. And he's too young for this knife. But boy, he wanted that in the worst way. He just knew that that would bring him everlasting contentment if he could just get that. And so I bought it for him for Christmas, wrapped it up. And a few hours later, he's bleeding everywhere. And, he's got blood pouring out of his hands. And he's on the couch with his legs elevated and everything. We're trying to stop the bleeding and stuff. See, that wasn't a good thing. It wasn't a good thing. And see, God knows what things are good for us before we ask. And there are some times when God, in his omniscient mercy, does not give us the things we ask because he knows 1 year, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years down the road that that would not be a good thing for us. And but he knows, and we ought to be specific when we pray, and we ought to ask for our needs. I mean, if it's a legitimate need, I mean, if you're trying hard, and you're trying to do God's will, love him, obey him, and please him, and you're trying to give to his work and support missions and all that kind of stuff, and all of a sudden your transmission blows on your car or something, you ought to take that need to God and see what he'll do. And just say, Lord, you know me, I'm trying. I need this car to go back and forth to work, to pay my bills, and I give, and so on and so forth. And you ought to say, Lord, this is a need. Would you please help me with this need? It's amazing what he will do. Many of you have testimonies. But remember, Matthew 6:33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. That was last week's lesson. Seek first the kingdom. Lord, let me pray about your kingdom first. Let me pray about your will first. Let me pray about your work first, your church, your missionaries, and so on and so forth, and the ministries in our church, and so on and so forth. Then we get to our needs. And you kind of put that at the end of your prayer life and say, now, Lord, I also have some needs here too. And there have been many a times where I've taken my bills and just spread them out. I kneel before my bed every day and pray, and there's some times where I'll just take my bills out and just spread them before the Lord, and I say, Lord, these are needs, and I need some help right now with these things right here, and just been amazing sometimes for God to watch. So number one, we need to pray for bread for ourselves. Give us day by day our daily bread. It's something that should be a day by day prayer, and it should be a prayer that shows our dependency upon God. Lord, I'm depending on you to meet my needs. Then number two, we should pray for bread for others. Pray for bread for others. Verse 5, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. Why? For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. See, now we ought to be concerned about the needs of others. The needs of others. I have crossed paths, this man's saying here in this story. I've crossed paths. I didn't expect this friend to show up. And he's been on a long journey, and he's come to my house, and he has a need, and I have no way to meet this need. And I want to ask you, Lord, to help me to meet this need. There are needy people all around us, and God wants us to pray down miracles to help them. There was once a great man, a preacher in England named George Mueller. I don't know if you ever heard of George Mueller. He had an orphanage, I think, for 50 years. Don't quote me on that. I'm not sure. But I know that hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of orphans around England that he took care of. And never once did he send out a letter requesting money. This was back in the 1800s. Never once did he put out pleas or beg for money, but he went to God in prayer. That man knew how to pray. You can read stories about him, biographies and everything. They're worth reading. It's just miraculous. And that man had to go to God every day and say, Lord, you've sent me all these boys and girls, and I don't have anything to give them. Would you please help me? Help me, Lord. And he said, just for no reason, there'd be farmers out in the field, out in the country, and they would come in with a whole tractor trailer full load of potatoes or something, and they'd say, I don't know what it was, but I was harvesting my potatoes and I felt God speak to my heart to bring them here to help you take care of these kids. And story after story after story after story like that, folks, we've got to open our eyes. There's poor people in this church. Can you see them? And some of them are really trying hard. I mean, they're working. They're sweating. They're trying to make ends meet. They're having struggles. There's poor people that our missionaries are trying to help. Did you ever maybe say, Lord, I don't have anything for missions, but if you could give me something, I'll help this missionary over here. There's a need, Lord. I've crossed paths in my journey with a friend who has a need, and I have nothing to give him. Would you please give me something so I can give it to him, not so I can hoard it? But Lord, is there a possibility that you could give me something? I've heard of people who've said, Lord, I got this in my garage, and I've got this in my garage, and I've got this in my garage, and I really don't need it. Lord, if you'll help me sell this, I'll give it to this need. I went through that, and I get another old story, and I won't belabor the point, but I used to own a 55 Ford pickup. Imagine that. And driving around the road with that today, boy, you turned some heads. That thing was nice. And I went to church one day, and a missionary was talking about a tremendous, tremendous, he happened to be passing through the church, was talking about a tremendous, tremendous need he had in the mission field. And while he was talking about that need, I felt impressed of the Holy Spirit to sell my 55 Ford pickup. And this was in the early 80s, so it was already a classic. 25 years and they're a classic. And, you know, of course, I just kind of shooed that voice off. I know he wasn't speaking to me. I mean, who would possibly ask you to do that? You know? But as it was going, I recognized the eternal value of what this man was doing. More important than having my truck. And so I made a commitment to the Lord. I said, Lord, if you'll help me sell this truck, I'll give every penny of what I get to this missionary to help him. And in no time, a man came along and gave me the price I asked, didn't try to talk me down or anything. And I gave all the money to that missionary, and he went on in his mission to work to reach many, many souls for Christ. Many souls. Did you ever feel that way? Oh God, there's a need and I don't have anything to give. There's this poor person in the church. There's this single mom in the church. There's single dads in the church nowadays. And there's missionaries working with orphans and missionaries in poor countries. I remember one time our church sent a missionary in the Philippines $5,000 so he could put a roof on his church. They didn't have a roof on the church. Didn't have any doors or windows, just the walls. A need. Did you ever have an experience like that in your life? Where you said, dear God, there's a need here and I don't have anything that I can possibly give. Would you give it to me? Now be careful about this because Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5, you remember their story, they pledged to give a lot of land that they owned, that they were going to sell it and give it to I forgot what the cause was. I think it was the poor people in Jerusalem, wasn't it? Acts chapter 5, read it. And they kept back the money. It says they lied to the Holy Ghost. Peter said to them, well, it was yours. You can do anything you want with it. You didn't have to give it. But you made the commitment. That's when you have to give it. See, if I'd have kept that money from the truck, that'd have been in trouble. See? But I think all of us, probably not all of us, but most of us in this country can think of something we could sell to help some poor person. We ought to pray for bread for others, and don't worry about it. Listen to this promise here in Matthew 25, 34. I'll read it. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say to them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. You find the least of Christ's brethren on the earth, the most insignificant believer in Christ there is on earth. And it says when you do something for that person, Jesus says, you do it for me. You do it for me. Have you ever prayed in your prayer life, and give us day by day our daily bread? Have you ever gone down to the next few verses and said, Lord, a friend of mine, lend me three loaves. A friend of mine in this journey has come to me and I have nothing to set before him. Please, let me help this person. Let me help this missionary. Let me help this ministry. Let me help this cause. Please, Lord. Please. And then last of all tonight, we need to pray for spiritual bread. Not just the physical needs we have, not just the physical needs others have, but for the spiritual needs we have and the spiritual needs others have. I'm telling you, it says, it gets spiritual down in verse 13. If ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him. John R. Rice used to call this spiritual bread. I believe he wrote a book once called Bread for Sinners. I'm not sure though. I know I had a CD of it. I listened to it recently. And he's been in heaven since 1980, but he was such a soul winner. Such a man of prayer, such a witness, that guy. But he used to say we need to pray for bread for sinners. Now we're talking about spiritual bread. Let me ask you something. Did you ever talk to somebody and they asked you a spiritual question you couldn't answer? They were asking you for some spiritual bread. They were asking me, I've got this question, this spiritual hunger. Can you fill it? Many times I haven't been able to. So we study. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. So that when people do approach us with that spiritual dearth, that spiritual hunger in them, we have prayed, O God, give me spiritual bread so that I can give these people their need. It says over in Proverbs chapter number 15 and verse number 28, the heart of the righteous studieth to answer. The heart of the righteous studieth. That word studieth means meditates. He meditates to answer people's questions. See, there's a lot of times where if we can give them bread for their souls, we can give them the bread of life, Jesus Christ. But we got to know what we're talking about. We've got to get some bread from heaven in our spiritual lives too, so we can distribute it to people. That's what soul winning is. That's what counseling is. That's what teaching is. That's what preaching is. That's what parenting is. It's taking the bread, the spiritual bread that God has given you, and then giving it to others. Jesus called himself in John 6 and verse 35 and John 6 and verse 48. He said, I am the bread of life. And we should pray. I went over 7 gospel presentations Sunday morning in the sermon so that we can take the bread of life, Jesus Christ, and give it to hungry souls. And they can be filled. See, sometimes the Word of God portrays itself as food. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 15:16, Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord of hosts. He said, this word's food. Job said in Job 23 and verse number 12, I have esteemed the words of thy mouth more than my necessary food. Matthew 4:4 and Luke 4:4 both say the same thing. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. See, this is food for the soul. This is bread for the soul. This has the answer to people's spiritual hunger. And we should pray that we can be the answer man or the answer woman. So many times I've had people ask me questions and I couldn't answer them, and I felt so bad because it may have been an opportunity lost to give them the bread of life. When it says, give us day by day our daily bread, how about we pray that before we read the Bible? Before you read the Bible, say, oh God, feed me. Oh God, your word is bread. Your word is food. Feed my soul. Oh God, and then while you're feeding my soul, give me food, because I don't know who I'm going to cross paths with today or what their question will be. But I know you have the answer, for your word says there is no counsel or understanding against the Lord. And you have the answers, and they're in here, Lord. And help me to so learn this book that when some hungry soul asks me a question, I can give them bread. Oh God, give me bread for others and give me bread for myself too, spiritually. Spiritually. 3 loaves of bread tonight. Number 1, pray for bread for yourself. Pray for your needs. Don't hesitate. Go to the Lord and say, Lord, I have this need in my life and this need, and it's not a greed. It's not even a want, but Lord, would you help me with provision, with food and clothing and money to pay my bills and so on and so forth. Oh God, help me out of this jam. I'm out of debt. He might just be merciful and help you. Why not try it? But then also pray for others and say, Lord, there's this poor soul in our church and I see how she's struggling. I see how he's struggling. And if you could just give me a blessing somehow, I'll give it to them. I'll help that person. I'll help that missionary that just came through. Who talked about this need, and I'll help that one ministering to the orphans and the ministering in some poor country, and that one that needs Bibles to pass out and tracts. Lord, I'll help the printing ministry. I'll I'll do whatever I can. Oh God, if you'll just give me something. And then the same thing for spiritual bread, number three. Oh God, give me something from your word today. Feed me, feed me, feed me, Lord. Give me something for my soul today. Give me something so that when people ask me questions, I'll remember where it is so I can feed their hunger. The bread of life, the word of God. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you for Bible study tonight. We pray now for thy Holy Spirit to work, Lord, that we may pray properly. Lord, help us to pray for bread, provision for ourselves, provision for others, and spiritual bread for others and for ourselves too. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.